The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Marion McKeown, why is Donald Trump getting all so worked up about the border with Mexico again?
Well, Matt, he's just finished this moment a pretty chaotic impromptu press Q&A in the Oval Office, and he's just said that it was Obama who built the cages for children and he was the one who changed that policy, and that he thought it was very inappropriate to hold children in cages. The whole thing is an absolute mess. I mean, that just sums up the confusion about this whole area. He also said that they're not doing any house cleaning in the Department of Homeland Security, and that they have to act against the Ninth Circuit judges who are, he said, a disgrace. Now, that just to give you an idea, I've just come back from 4 days on the border down in Calexico and El Isidro and El Centro and all along there. Nobody at the moment seems to really know, and I'm talking about Border Patrol people as well, nobody seems to really know what is going on. I spoke with border officers in Calexico who told me that immediately after Donald Trump came to visit them on Friday, and he said, look, just tell the judges that you can't let any more people in, that, you know, we're full, tell the judges we can't let people in. And then their supervisor said to them, you know, unless you want to spend the rest of your earnings on lawyers, don't do that, it's illegal, you can't, this is the law, you've got to enforce it. So at the moment, in the last month, there has been a big surge in families who are trying to cross the border, but in particular families who are seeking asylum. The numbers, it's still not at its peak. At its peak, it was about 230,000 people who were apprehended every month. At the moment, it's at somewhere between 65 and 110,000, which is a lot of people. And
it's an enormous number of people.
Patrol can't cope with it, because the people who are coming in are asylum seekers, and if they're being detained, they have to be kept somewhere. There's nowhere to keep them. They're being kept under bridges in El Paso. They're being kept in appalling conditions. Now, this is not the fault of the Customs and Border Patrol. It's just that the system cannot deal with it. Now, I've asked a lot of people, because nobody's really talking about what will fix this, and what people seem to think, Republicans as well as Democrats, will fix it is you've got to tackle the problem at its source. You've got to sort of go and, instead of cutting aid in Guatemala and Nicaragua and El Salvador, you've got to boost aid. You've got to actually, because these countries are in a shambles at the moment economically. So they say you've got to go there, you've got to boost aid, and then you've got to flood the border zone with immigration judges and with more patrol officers, and, you know, spend a lot more money there.
Or maybe just build a wall. All Marion.
Humanitarian aid, but that these are long-term fixes. Donald Trump wants a quick, dramatic fix that may break laws, so long as it shows his base that his border policies are winning. But at the moment, they are not winning. They're causing chaos.
Cal Thomas, what's going on as far as you're concerned?
Well, all of this has got ratcheted up, which was your initial question about 3 minutes ago, Matt, because of a liberal San Francisco, California judge who responded to 11 so-called asylum seekers and advocacy groups to halt the practice of holding potential refugees, asylum seekers, or whatever they call themselves, in Mexico pending legal outcomes. This is what the open borders people have been doing for some time, seeking out a judge who will ratify their objectives. Now, I think, we've talked about this on this program for weeks and weeks, even months and months. The real problem is not the Border Patrol. The real problem lies with Congress. They could fix this. There is a loophole which says anybody claiming asylum has to be treated in a certain way as if they are actually seeking asylum from dangerous circumstances in their home country. A drug dealer can claim asylum. A criminal can claim asylum. Anybody can claim asylum, and they have to be treated under U.S. law as if it is a legitimate claim. The Congress will not fix that, and that's why we continue to have the problem.
Okay, so just explain. So you think there's a lot of people who are not genuine refugees who are gaming the system to get into the United States of America?
Of course. Look at the crime so many of them committed. There was a police officer shot in Boston. There are people who have been arrested for rape. There are other people who have been arrested to be because they're part of gangs or drug dealers or drug mules.
I'm sure Americans do all that as well, Cal.
All right, good, Matt.
They do.
You got to control a border. No country can maintain its character unless it controls who gets to come in and who does not. Every country in the world does this. Why should the United States be an open border and let the entire world come? It will kill us as a country, and it will do away with the attraction that causes many people to come here.
Marion McCone, is that not a very valid point believed by so many people? And if you've given us the numbers of the extraordinary numbers who are trying to get into the United States every month, aren't the people who live in the United States entitled to say, hang on a second, no matter how we got here or how our ancestors got here, enough is enough?
Okay, first of all, Cal, can I... what you just said there is sort of a very deliberate policy by the Trump administration, and you really just reflected that. There is a big difference between people who cross the border illegally, people who enter legally, and asylum seekers. Asylum seekers are legally allowed to come into the country and seek asylum, and this has been happening, and it's really being ratcheted up in recent weeks, and it's frankly disgusting, where people like Donald Trump are saying there's no difference between a gang member who comes in and an asylum seeker. And I've been down on the border. I've just come back. I've seen the asylum seekers. It's mainly women and children. Why would a drug dealer seek asylum and be put in a detention centre for months and months and possibly years? It's bad for business if you're a drug dealer. It's just not true that drug dealers and people like that are coming in on asylum-seeking dockets. But, you know, the borders are not open. This is the other myth. Again, I was standing there. The borders are wall-to-wall. The Customs and Border Patrol people are doing a very efficient job there. There are miles and miles and miles, over 700 miles of fencing. There are no, the borders are not open. And so people are coming in, yes, and I do agree that more needs to be done. The one thing I do agree with Cal on here is that Congress has been disgraceful, both Democrats and Republicans. They're not dealing with the problem for political reasons. And and at the moment, the whole thing is an absolute mess. But all that judge in San Francisco did was enforce the law. That's all judges are doing, and Donald Trump seems to think the law is irrelevant if it inconveniences him and if it gets between him and the end that he wants.
You see, Cal, isn't this the danger that this is just pure demagoguery on the part of Donald Trump, that he knows that this is a push-button topic, this is the way to energise his base? Don't deal with facts, let's deal with myths, and let's deal with the fears that people have had and just exacerbate them and get support on the back of it. Isn't that very dangerous behaviour from an American president?
Well, politicians, demagogue all the time, depending on what their key issue is for the base, Matt. But, we can't, again, I hate to keep repeating myself on this, but you can't have open, well, Marion doesn't like open borders, but that's the result. When you've got 100,000 people, which is the prediction just for this month alone, 76,000, I believe it was, for last month, and increasing every month, when you have that many people coming in, most of them are low-skilled, uneducated, they don't speak English, what are they going to do here? Well, maybe some of them will work in the fields picking fruit or whatever, but they have no future. They have no skills. They have nothing that will contribute to the country, and many of them get on various kinds of welfare programs, which the American taxpayers, who are legal residents and legal citizens, have to pay for. And that's what Donald Trump is tapping into, and I think in many ways he's right, regardless of the way he puts it sometime.
But his own grandfather spoke German when he came to the United States of America. No, seriously, if you look back at the history of the United States, Cal, how many people came without the English language or very low educational skills? And if they didn't, what about their parents or their grandparents?
But, Matt, they came in an orderly fashion. As you well know, following the early 20th century mass migration, including many Irish who came to America, there was a cutoff of virtually all immigration for 40 years until they could be assimilated, embrace American culture, the United States Constitution, and the American way of life. Try to become a citizen in Switzerland. I looked this up in writing a column a few months ago. You have to go through all kinds of hoops, including learning French and a quiz on the Swiss history and culture and so many other things. It's very difficult. The United States, you can cross the border and have a baby here, and the baby is automatically a United States citizen. That's a wonderful thing, but we can't do it forever or America will cease to exist.
Okay. Marion McCone, could any of this be linked to residual fears that Trump has in relation to the publication of the Mueller report in full, unredacted? Or has that ship sailed and that he's managed to win that particular one?
You know, I think regardless of what happens, and I just saw the Attorney General Bob Barr do Donald Trump's bidding, and he should really be watching very carefully what's happening and what happened with Kirstjen Nielsen. It really doesn't matter how much you debase yourself for President Trump. He shows very little gratitude and very
little
loyalty.
You'll get fired eventually.
The second you stop. Bob Barr is the Attorney General. He just appeared in before the Appropriations Committee this morning. He says the report will be out in a week, but it's subject to four different sets of redactions. Now, that's quite normal for public release. You don't release intelligence sources. You don't release grand jury testimony. One of the other redactions areas that he's claimed that I'm a bit concerned about is he says people who are peripheral to the inquiry, that there'll be anything to do with them will be redacted. Now, who's peripheral to the inquiry? Is Jared Kushner peripheral to the inquiry? Is Donald Trump Jr. peripheral to the inquiry? We won't know that. But look, at some point, the Congress is entitled, and that there is judicial precedent for this. The Congress is entitled, the various committees, to full unredacted versions. But as you say, the ship has sailed. The public has now, and the other thing I should say, Matt, is the public is really largely indifferent to this. Outside of Washington, nobody really cares that I've spoken to about the Mueller report. But I think people now believe Donald Trump was largely acquitted by the report, that nothing was found. The people who care about it, the people who believe that Bob Barr is hiding stuff, tend to be Democrats. The people who believe Donald Trump has proven to be acquitted tend to be Republicans. But as I said, most people don't care. Most people are indifferent to this.
Okay.
So I think Donald Trump has won this battle largely so far. But things will come out. There will be more controversies. But will it affect his standing in the polls or with the public? I don't think so.
Okay, Cal Thomas, something that wasn't on our list to discuss, so hopefully you will know something about this. But I'm fascinated by the moves in New York in the last couple of hours in relation to dealing with the measles outbreak and compulsory vaccinations. This is of great interest because this is becoming a global issue, the spread of measles, and it's something we've had in Ireland as well. How good is America in relation to compulsion when it comes to things like vaccinations?
Well, Matt, yes, this is rather shocking to me. I mean, in the 21st century, in the city of New York and the state of New York that has been run by Democrats for years, who have said that they care about the weak and the children and the rest, to see this outbreak is really shocking. I think a part of it, though not all of it, has to do with the concept of mandatory vaccinations. There are certain religious groups in America, including Jehovah's Witnesses and some others, who don't believe in these vaccinations for religious reasons. And then there are other people who get on the internet and find all of these conspiracy theories that somehow the government is going to inoculate our children with some kind of virus or something that's bad for them. So I think those two things are contributing to this. We wiped out polio because everybody basically thought it was a good idea to have the Salk vaccine, that iron lungs were a horrible thing, that polio was an awful disease that affected people if they survived it for the rest of their lives. So I think if you're going to a public school or a public institution and you refuse to get the kind of vaccinations that are necessary to protect other children as well as your own, you should be denied access to those schools.
But Kyle, I have to say, with the individual who is largely responsible for this measles outbreak, the discredited, struck off Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who propagated this myth that there was a link between the MMR vaccine and autism, was a guest of Donald Trump's at his inauguration ball. He has been pushed by Trump. Trump has a certain degree of responsibility in relation to this.
Trump is responsible for measles. Trump is responsible for ingrown toenails. Trump is responsible for everything you don't like. Come on, Matt. You can do better than that.
No, actually, I'm actually deadly serious about this one, Cal, because Wakefield managed to get support at an important time a couple of years ago when he was putting a nonsense movie out from Trump. That is fact. Marion McKeown, tell me a little bit about Felicity Huffman, the actress. Is she going to go to prison?
I don't know, but I would say it's very unlikely. It's a first offence. They're saying she could get up to 10 months in prison.
Tell us what she did.
I'd say that again, Matt.
Just tell us what she did, which has got her in the trouble.
Okay, Felicity Huffman is one of about 50 parents, all very wealthy, some of them very famous parents, who basically bribed. They gave a Californian college consultant, to put it politely, a bribes ranging between about $15,000 at the low end to $500,000 at the top end, to ensure that their children got into Ivy League and very prestigious colleges, including UCLA, USC, colleges like like that, and on the East Coast as well, Yale and Princeton and what have you. Now, what he did was he bribed various coaches. They staged photographs of the children involved in sports that they'd never been involved in. Rowing was very popular, where they looked like they were going to be champion sports people that the colleges would want. Now, I don't know what happened when these kids got to college, having been photographed as these brilliant sports people, and it turned out they'd never played the sports. Surely the coaches must have known, but there was a bit of a widespread conspiracy, and coaches were involved in this, and people took exams for these kids, or coached them for their exams, or changed the exams afterwards. Anyway, Felicity Huffman was one of these parents who wanted her daughter to get into a prestigious college, and she paid this chap Singer a lot of money to ensure that happened. She's being, she's in the focus because she's famous, and it's the double-edged sword of fame, isn't it? There are a lot of other people. There are senior lawyers in New York. There are partners of top law firms. There are a lot of other parents who did the same thing. She's now pleaded guilty. She said that she's really sorry. She came out with an abject apology yesterday. Of course, it's easy to be sorry after the event when you've been pretty well found out in the Watertight case. Prosecutors say she could get 10 months in prison for postal fraud and other frauds. But I would say it's quite unlikely, given that she's never committed a crime before. Okay. I think she'll probably get a very hefty fine.
Marion McKeown, Cal Thomas, as ever, thank you for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.